Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Podcast number 1038, take one.
Technically, this is take two.
Is the key for the Growing in Grace podcast. What'd you think of that? Should we do take two?
We should have done take two, because if we did take another take, that would be take three.
Oh, always start with take three. The first two are never any good.
Remember that band, Take Six?
I do remember it now that you say. How do you remember this stuff?
They did The Biggest Part of Me. It was a remake, I believe. I didn't know it at the time when we played it on Christian radio. I did not know that there was a remake. I just remember you saying on the radio as a air personality, the biggest part of me is my stomach.
As you've heard of a six-pack abs, Joel has a one-pack.
Yeah, it's a big one-pack. But I never knew what that name...
The neighborhood children come over and use them for a trampoline. I'm just saying.
It's true. But anyway, I can't think of anything to say to that. You got me. But that the band Take Six, I never knew, like, when they recorded their music, they went with Take Six every time. I don't know. I never knew what that name of that band meant.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about them.
They were some good singers, though. They had good harmonies.
Yeah, that's a good song. That's an old classic song.
Yeah, I don't know how I remember these things, to tell the truth. I've got a small collection of MP3s from when we were at the radio station. And so it's been almost 20 years since both of us have been there. Next year, it'll be 20 years. So we had been doing the music on hard drive, MOHD, music on hard drive. And so we had some MP3s, and I saved some. I would rip some from the CDs that we had up there. And so I got a very small collection of those. And so every once in a while, I will listen to some of that music. And there's some good stuff. There's some really good stuff. And I was watching a video the other day of Amy Grant talking about the good old days in the 70s when they got started. And she was talking about Calvary Chapel, and they would just sit around, and there'd be people sitting in the windowsills, people sitting here, just casual, like no religion, just fun, just singing, you know, just sitting around singing. And so that would have been fun.
That sounds more like what church ought to be, right?
Yeah, I think so too. There were some people would speaking of this, the Grace Cafe podcast, Mike and Sue Adams, well, by the time this posts, it would have been a few weeks ago, they were talking about some of that stuff. Just maybe there was a little bit of legalism in when they entered into their life in Christ, but there was such a lot of peace and a lot of joy, and just people getting together, and it wasn't really a whole, like, a big religious setting. And I do think that that's what it's meant to be like. People do church differently wherever you go, and this isn't to put down any of that. I don't know if there is a way to do it. You can go, well, First Timothy says, or Paul says in whatever, Ephesians, do it, whatever. But he was talking, in a lot of Paul's epistles, he was talking to people about certain things that they were going through, and not necessarily like prescribing a way that things had to be done. So I think church can be done, and getting together with other believers can be done in a lot of different ways. And mm-hmm. and really what it comes down to is not how we do things, but who we are in Christ. And as a body, you know, God has made his body, the body of Christ, in a very diverse way. He's provided his body, just like a human body with lots of different parts. That's how he has made his body, the body of Christ. And worldwide, we're all so different. But yet, there are some things we have in common, our identity that we have in Christ. We'll talk a little bit about that this week.
I went for years in my Christian life without really, I don't even know if the word identity was ever used.
Yeah.
And so, because I guess most, like a lot of our listeners, I'm sure, who are doing the church thing, especially, your goal was to try to become something. You were trying to get closer to God. You were trying to draw near to Him. You were trying to become accepted, become forgiven, become righteous, striving for perfection. all those things that you were, I mean, that's kind of what my Christian life was based on, was working at self-improvement and becoming more like Jesus and a whole bunch of other catchphrases. And so when I came into the grace thing and began to realize how God has already identified me as a believer in Him and He abiding in me, that changed everything. And I thought to myself, I was spinning my wheels all these years trying to become something I thought I wasn't, that God declares that I am because of what Jesus did on my behalf. It was mind-blowing. I mean, I lost my mind one time when a butterfly kicked me in the head, so that's not saying much, but okay. It doesn't take much to blow my mind. But Joel, let me rattle off a few here, and we don't need to break these down, but just to give people an idea of what we're talking about. Have you ever had somebody ask for your ID? I need you to show me a legal ID. It's also, that phrase is something we used to do in radio at the top of the hour.
Oh,
the
yeah.
FCC required that we put out on the airwaves a legal ID, which basically consisted of our call letters and our city, our location, whatever's on the license.
Mm-hmm. And you'll still hear that on radios.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of Christians today. Yes, that's true. TV, too, I think.
TV, yep.
And a lot of Christians today are going around trying to flash a legal ID or a legalistic ID that is not based on the grace of God. So, for example, here's a few on the legalistic ID side of things that you may have included in your life. Being a follower of Jesus, you're identified that way. Identifying as a disciple of Jesus, one who is dedicated to God, one who has made Jesus Lord of their life, a doer of works and religious law, a sinner constantly seeking a renewed forgiveness from God, a wretch, unworthy, a lowly peasant, a producer of fruit and righteousness, sometimes separated, sometimes not, one who lacks fellowship with God, but not always. So let's turn some of these inside out. As a believer in Christ, God identifies you as a child, gifted with an unearned inheritance, one to whom God has dedicated His life to you, not the other way around. Jesus is Lord because of who He is, not because of what you do. You are identified as a saint, a believer. You're blameless, not condemned or guilty. You are royalty, crowned with glory and honor, one who is declared to be in Christ, one in whom Christ abides at all times, always connected, always in fellowship, one who is already forgiven, eternally redeemed, perfected, reconciled, righteous, with God being your righteousness. He is the one who will complete the work in you that He started by producing righteousness and the fruit of the Spirit. We're not the producers of that. Again, it's His righteousness, it's His fruit, and this is who we are in Him, with nothing for us to boast about or to claim that we have earned, or you know, some sort of laid some sort of claim based upon our actions. We're just who we are through birth. For those of us who were born, we were just who we were. We came from who we came from. And the same is true with adoption, which the Bible talks about. So, Joel, identity, it's a big thing. If you're spending most of your time trying to work at becoming something for God instead of realizing that God has created you in Christ Jesus, then it's you know, it's not much fun going through life here on Earth with that approach.
Yeah, if you're trying to become something and you don't realize that you already are that, it's going to be a lifelong struggle, because you're never going to get there if you don't realize that you're already there. A lot of these things that we are in Christ, we're an heir and a co-heir. Romans 8:17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, and we're justified, we've become righteous. If we're trying to be these things, to be justified, to be righteous, to be an heir of God, I mean, we can't, there's nothing we can do. But if we're trying to do something in order to become these things, it's like the old walking on a treadmill thing. It's like the hamster wheel. I got pictures of my kids in, I think we were in St. Louis and at the Science Museum, I think it was, I can't remember, but there's like a huge hamster wheel that people can go on. And it's fun, you know, the kids have fun with it, but you're moving along on it and you're getting nowhere. You're going nowhere. And that's the same with trying to perform. Like you were mentioning, trying to be a follower. We've done podcasts on that. You can search growingingrace.org for the word follower, disciple. If you're trying to be a disciple, a word that disappeared after the book of Acts in the scriptures, the New Testament writings as they're laid out. And if you're trying to make Jesus Lord, I think Paul made it pretty simple in Romans 10, is if you confess that Jesus is Lord. It doesn't say if you make him Lord. Jesus is already Lord, whether you believe it or not.
Right.
but you're saved not by making him Lord, but you confess that he is already Lord. You're agreeing with the fact that he is Lord. That's what that word confession means. You're agreeing with it. You're saying the same thing as. But if you're trying to perform work after work after work, or duty after duty, or trying to do the law, or trying to keep good works, whatever, trying to do things to either earn these things or maintain them somehow, then you're probably clueless about the fact that God has already made you these things. He's done it not by anything that we've done, but by his grace, by his love and kindness. That's how we've become these things. That's one of the big things about the gospel. God did all these things out of his love and out of his kindness. People get the gospel mixed up by thinking that, well, he's mean toward us, or he's angry toward us unless we do these things. It's really the other way around. He's not angry with us. He loves us. He's kind. He's merciful. And in that kindness and love and mercy and grace, he's made us all these things, not by what we've done, but just simply because he has enjoyed doing it, if you want to put it that way.
Boy, that's exactly right. You are not who you are because of what you do. What you do does not make you who you are as a believer in Christ. If we can just get that down and begin to live from the reality that he has gifted us with his perfection, with his righteousness, the forgiveness that he has already poured out on us since the cross. If we can begin to live from that instead of trying to become that based on our works and efforts, it changes everything. It's not just a transition from one doctrinal mindset to a different type of ideology. It completely carries us to a different paradigm when you're realizing that I can begin living now from this. It's like Jesus did it all, and I've said this before, but now we get to run the race starting at the finish line. Mm-hmm. We're complete in him already, and now we get to live from that It doesn't mean that we do everything perfectly. It doesn't mean that we are heirs who don't err, but it does mean that we have been perfected and we are righteous. And it's not about us producing righteousness. It's not through works of righteousness, which we have done, but it is all based on His mercy, His grace, and how He has saved us through that unconditional love, like you were talking, Joel. And so that's what this is about. Now, God is the producer. He is the finisher. He is the perfecter. And He will produce works of righteousness through us. He will produce fruit of the Spirit through us. But it's His fruit. It's His righteousness. It's His work. And we just live by faith and allow Him to live in and through us. He began the good work in us. He is faithful to complete it.
Yeah, that was Philippians 1:6 there. That, in the very early part of my walk with Christ, that was one verse that really helped me a lot. Those words, the understanding of that, that He began a good work in me and He'll bring it to completion. Because so many people have it the other way around, that they think that they've got works to do and they need to be faithful to complete them. But really, you didn't begin a good work for God that you must be faithful to perform. Rather, God began a good work in you. He is the one who is faithful to carry that work to completion, to bring it to its fullness. It's God's faithfulness. This whole thing is not based upon our faithfulness. It's based upon God's faithfulness. Wrap up with this. This is from the NIV, but it says, "You are God's handiwork," Ephesians 2:10, "created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So the doing that we do isn't to become something. It's because we've already been made something by God. He's already made us something, and He's continuing the work that He began. He's faithful to bring that work to completion. He's not depending on us. We are 100% dependent upon Him.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.